turn with me there to John, the 15th chapter, and we're going to begin at verse number 5. Do you have John 15? Children? Okay, I need to know. You got to get your Bibles open. And here's what Jesus said. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Wow. Jesus looked at his disciples on his way to Gethsemane and he said to them, I am the vine. How many of you are surprised today to hear that? Nobody. But I wondered if you ever looked up the definition, the literal meaning to the word vine. For I hope it will catch your attention right here and right now. For you see, the minute I said vine, you went to the vineyard, you thought of the grapes and all that. But I want you to see the definition of the Greek word ampelos. Ampelos, actually. Ampelos is a vine. And what it means is I gave you my thing. I plugged it in. But maybe I did it wrong. Ampelos. Anybody know what ampelos means? That's a Greek noun, and we define that as vine. But here's what vine means. Think we got it? We got it. Thank you. Now, either the Lord did that to catch everybody's attention or Satan did that because he didn't want you to know. When Jesus said, I am the vine, ampelos means as coiling about a support. Did you know that? Did you know that the literal definition of the word vine is not the stalk that stands alone, proud and boastful, headed for the sky, but it stands for the stalk that is coiled around a support. And yes, indeed, we are being confronted today as we look at this sermon entitled, Is This the Case with You? Is this the case with me? That the vine is coiled around a support. Let's quickly look at John 5:30 and see if these texts don't take on a different meaning for you and also give you courage to continue to walk the Christian walk, the Seventh-day Adventist Christian walk. Here's what Jesus said in John 5, verse 30. He said this, I can of myself, what? Do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgments are righteous. Why? Because he hears the righteous judge speaking to him. Because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father. Yes, the vine is coiled around a support. If that support wasn't there, the vine would fall flat on the ground, and believe me, the grapes would, if they grew, rot on the ground. You see, they have to be lifted up, extended out, and hang down. Did you know that the vine is coiled around a support? Did you know that Jesus could do nothing? Did you know that Jesus did not seek His own will? Take a look at 638. 638, look what it says. I'm going to move rapidly here. 638 says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." In other words, in Peter Neary language, Jesus deferred to the authority of God. Are you struggling in any area with the will of God for your life that you're well aware of and you just don't want to do it? I want you to know Jesus did it. And He picked the illustration of the vineyard and the vine, not because it is so common in the Middle East, but because it perfectly represents that Jesus had to be completely entwined with the Father in order to make branches. What did I say? Branches. I didn't say grapes, did I? Did I? Because we're going to find out why in a second. Hey, let's take a quick look at 12:19, John 12:49. By the way, notice I'm just staying in the book of John. John 12, verse 49 says this. "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say what I should speak." Wouldn't you think Jesus had His own authority? If He came here with His own authority, if He came here and did His own will, He would not be an example for you and I, and we would be kaput. And so why did He use this illustration? Because the vine has to have support in order to get high enough to send out shoots, which produces branches. Hey, I wanted to throw this one in on you to show you that it's a complete Trinity thing here. Take a look at John 16:13. Maybe this will surprise you, maybe it won't. If you're like me, it's neat when sometimes I listen to a sermon and they read a text that I've got memorized and they say something I never even saw. Isn't that amazing about the Bible? I love the Bible. "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, shall come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He would speak." Now, where did we hear that already? Where did we hear that? Jesus. So Jesus allowed Himself to come under the authority of the Father. The Holy Spirit allowed Himself to come under the authority of Jesus so that we would be encouraged to come under the authority of the Holy Spirit whether we liked it or not. Why? Because He is a vine that has to be supported when He came in human flesh. But the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. They had to purposely, willfully give over their authority and their ability in order for us to attain salvation. Isn't that incredible? Take a look at Hebrews 5:7. What do you see Jesus doing there? What is Jesus doing there? Oh, wait a minute. You might think He's sleeping. He is not sleeping. Do you have Hebrews 5:7? Who Jesus, in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to Him, the Father, who was able to save Him from death. And was heard because of His godly fear. And so, my friends, you want to know something? Jesus had a choice. He could come here and do the will of His Father, or at some point, He could stop and say, you know, I'm sick of these people. I've had it up to here. I'm going to go home where I'm appreciated. And I'm going to live happily ever after with those I already have. If you don't love Jesus much, I hope this makes you love Him more. That He subjugated Himself under the Father for our benefit so that the plan of salvation could succeed. Satan would be defeated. We would have eternal life. Number two, notice it says, you are the branches. And in the Greek, that's kema, is the word. The Greek word is kema. It means a limb or a shoot. Now, I give that to you so that you will know that we are not the vine. Okay? Jesus is the vine. And in the Greek, that's a present, active, indicative, third person, singular. That means that it is a fact. Indicative means this is a fact that God presents. Whether you like it or not, you are a branch. That's what you are. A branch. By the way, in a moment, you're going to see you have a choice. You can choose not to be a branch, but we're not. I haven't got there yet. There's branches off the vine. And the word klema means as the shoot of a vine or the branch, but not the vine. So let's take a quick look at John 15, verse 4 through 10. And now, children, listen to me. I'm going to read verse 4 through 10. And I'll read a little bit slow, children. But as I read, there's one word, abide. Abides. Abide or abides. I want you to count how many times I say that word in six texts. Six texts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Starting with verse number 4. Children, are you ready? Children. Okay, here we go. Jesus said, abide in me, that and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bear much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Children, how many times in six verses did I say abide or abides? We've got a consensus here. No one gets it. No. How many times? You older people, did you count? What'd you get? Oh, now kids got 8 and 9, but the adults got 10. I wonder who's right. 10 times in 6 verses, abide means stay connected. Stay connected. The job of the branch is to stay connected. It has to be in connection with the vine. If it doesn't, it will be separated, dried, withered, and burned. And so we're all startled today, I think, to find that the vine means coiled around a support. And we discover that the vine produces branches. And guess who are the branches? We are. How do we stay connected? 2 Corinthians 3:18. Now this one you should have memorized. I don't. It's awkward, but I know what it means. And so I use the Adventist shortened version of what this verse says. Do you have 2 Corinthians 3:18? And remember, the recipients of this letter from Paul is a group of believers living in an absolute secular pagan environment. And he said this, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the what? The glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Whoa! So the Peter Neary shortened Adventist version is, by beholding, you become changed by the Spirit of the Lord. Whenever you sit down or kneel down to read your Bible and to pray, the Holy Spirit comes to you and you are slowly but surely being transformed into the image of God. How do you stay connected? By spending time every day with the Lord. Folks, can you see why this is the hardest thing in your Christian life to do? Especially if you're a busy Adventist. You know, Adventists are known for being busy. That's really true. They're hardworking people. They really are. And you get up and your first thoughts of all I got accomplished today. And then creeps into your mind, well, I really should pray. And then you go, but I really don't have as much time. And in fact, you know, I could get more done if I started right now. And maybe I'll pray tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes. And so the truth is, brother and sister, we have a choice. Do you choose to be a branch? If you do, I want you to know that something great is going to happen. For it says that if the branch stays connected to the vine, the branch produces fruit. Hey, does this come as a new thought to you? And maybe you're smarter than I am. The vine does not produce grapes. In fact, if I went back to our original picture, you saw how the vine goes up. And then the vine dressers, they tend it in such a way, cutting branches in such a way, so that it then goes out in two directions. They cut all the other directions off. And it goes out. And as it goes out, it then sends out branches. Well, I guess the ascending vine probably sends out branches too. But those are no good. They're lopped off. Till it gets up to the wire, and most of them use wire, they then train it to move in two directions, and all of a sudden, branches. And if the branches stay connected, they produce fruit. What does the vine do? Nothing. What does the vine do? Support feeds the branches so that the branches can produce fruit. Who have you brought to church lately? Who do you brought to the Lord lately? Anybody? Who have you studied with the Bible lately? You know, the purpose of the branch is to bear fruit. There's nothing else. In fact, this will blow your mind. I like this. Take a look at verse 8. Go back to John 15 and look at verse 8. I want you to be challenged here as well as excited. How do we glorify the Father for all He's done for us? How do we do it? Oh, you're afraid to say it. How do we glorify the Father? And by the way, when we fail the Father, guess who sticks his bony finger into his face and laughs heartily? Satan. And so we want to glorify God. And if we choose again to go the other route, we are explicitly told that the withered branches burn and die. No, they die and are burned. And they don't produce any fruit. You know, folks, that would be the branch that lives for itself, not for others. And by the way, pastors can do that. Pastors can do that. I was secure at home when I heard the voice from the captain saying, "Come, follow me. Go where I send you. No need to fear. I'll be with you." I asked, "But captain, may I remain here on the shore where it's safe and help other sailors discover their way?" The voice echoed, "Come after me. You'll reach distant lands. No need to fear. You'll be in my hands." My plans did not include a journey to a strange land, so I again questioned the captain, "How can I travel so far away if I am not skilled? What will I discover there?" The captain advised, "This is my plan, adding wisdom to your measure. Abide with me and you'll find a hid treasure." I announced my venture as I said farewell to my family, friends, and dreams. The memory from my home were cherished. Nevertheless, I would never return to repeat them. My departure became certain as I abandoned everything I knew to be familiar. So we sailed southward. I was unaware of my destination. And suddenly, a roaring from the wind, I felt the crushing waves, and I heard a whisper from the captain say, "Trust in me. Do not fear. I am with you. I am near." And the winds viciously forced me off the ship, and the waves violently embraced me, and I struggled in the grips of darkness, and below me was an endless void of despair, and I yelled, "Captain, help me before I drown," and I heard no response. I reached for the ship with an outstretched arm, and one reached back and took mine and lifted me to safety. And I appealed to the captain, "You said do not fear. You said you'd be with me. Why did I fall?" And the captain replied, "Submit to my purpose surrender to my plan. Endure what surrounds you. With my strength you can. The ship sailed on until it came to a sudden stop. I noticed that the anchor was launched and ahead of the ship was an immense storm. I asked the captain, "Why don't we turn away from the storm?" And the captain replied, "Keep watch for the calm. Storms are mysteries. Listen closely to their secrets. In them are victories." At that moment, the storm leaped on me, knocking me to the lower deck. The wind swept me back and forth like a pendulum. I had nothing to hold on to. I again shouted for the captain, "Save me before I go under." And as I glanced into the captain's quarters, there he slept, as if the storm was my imagination. And suddenly, the storm ceased. I asked the captain, "How could you sleep in the middle of the storm?" Again, I was replied to with silence. The captain appeared to look right through my question. And then the captain handed me a compass, and I reread the engraved message. "Follow my direction and do not fear, for I am with you. When you don't see me, trust me. When you don't hear me, remember my promises." I looked intently at the compass, and the captain appeared to have left. I felt alone on the ship, and just then I saw someone else drowning in the waves of water. So I reached out my hand and lifted him to safety. The lost gentleman thanked me and asked me where my courage came from. I was beginning to discover the mysteries that the captain referred to. While we spoke, I noticed another ship was headed towards the same storm we had just survived. So I jumped from my ship and anxiously swam to the other vessel. I yelled as though my volume would exceed that of the coming storm. I warned them that their direction is into danger, and they turned safely to the shore. And then I discovered the secrets that the storm was revealing. I found the victory in saving others. I read, "This was my hidden treasure." And so, my friends, as we observe our Lord and Savior entangled in the Father, as we now acknowledge, whether we like it or not, that we are the branches, our purpose for being here is to abide and produce fruit. And let us seek the Lord that we can succeed at doing that. Father in heaven, I thank you for the challenge of the hour. I thank you for the parable of the vine and how it graphically portrays your example to us. Now bless each person here. Father, let no one fear but to trust you. And please help us all to let go of those things we're holding that we shouldn't, so that you can instead use us to swim to the other ships before they hit the storm. So bless everyone here, bless this congregation, and help us to clearly hear your distinct voice speaking so that we can partner with you in the saving of souls, the bearing of fruit, and the glorifying of our Father in heaven. And thank you for hearing this prayer, because it is prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.